and the Blake house are going to be kind of moving on, finishing up. I know about you guys. I want to pray for you guys at the end, so I'm going to finish up. When we finish up, we're all going to kind of get you guys to come up here. We've got Anderson, Jesse, and Travis Rope. All three of those guys are kind of finishing, either finishing completely with the Blake house or finishing this phase and stuff. So we're gonna lift them up. Tonight's lesson is for you guys. It's for all of us, but this, I think if you'll apply this to your life tonight, it'll help a lot, especially in this phase where you're going out into the world, and that's kind of what we're going to be talking about tonight. So I'm going to say we're going to do that at the end. Make sure I finish up in enough time, because I think it'll be more powerful at the end after we've talked about this. So I think that'll be good timing on that. But with that being said, I'll go ahead and open us up in prayer. We'll dive in. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for today. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your word. We thank you for being with us throughout the week, not just on Sunday. We thank you for being with us on Wednesday night, on Monday morning, on Thursday afternoon, God. You are with us all the time. We acknowledge that, and we thank you for that. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for teaching us, Heavenly Father. You can teach us anytime we open your word. Anytime we ask you, you can download something into us. You can bring something out that you've planted in us, Heavenly Father. So we thank you for that. I pray that we have a desire and a hunger to open your word, a desire and a hunger to hear revelation from you, Heavenly Father, a desire and a hunger to worship you, God. That's what we pray, God. I pray that you download that into us, and you make us hungry for the right things, Heavenly Father. Make us hungry for you. And that's what we pray tonight, and we just thank you for tonight and this opportunity to open your word as believers together, Heavenly Father, and learn more about you and what you would have to say to us, God. Be with what I've brought, Heavenly Father, be with what you've shown me. I pray that I give it the way that you've shown it to me in a more powerful way, because you can speak to each person in this room individually about something completely different than what I'm talking about. The way I mean it is for me, and the way they mean it is from you. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you speak to everyone in this room tonight. They're in here for a reason, God. We're all in here for a reason. And I just pray that we walk away knowing a little bit more about your heart for us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. You had somebody leave. Okay. I got you. We absolutely will. Gotcha. All right. Let's go to John chapter 17. We're going to be in like verse 13 through around 19, give or take, depending on how far we get. What is going on right now is what the scripture that we're going to be reading tonight is Jesus speaking. If your Bible does it, it's in red. That means that he's talking. Not all Bibles do that, but I like the ones that do. It's very clear. The interesting thing about what's going on here is Jesus is praying. This is right before he gets arrested. This is right before he gets put on trial, crucified, the whole nine yards. This is right before this happens. So he's praying, and it's always interesting to me when God prays and talks to God, because that's what's going on right here. Jesus is talking to his Father, but it is God talking to God through the power of God, the Holy Spirit. So that they're all three involved in this conversation. So it's interesting, and this is an insight into how God feels about us, because it's Jesus praying to God about us. So it's God talking to himself about his children, about us, and how what he thinks about us and what he wants for us, what he desires for us. So it's an interesting part. Jesus, a lot of times in the scripture, he's talking to people, directly to people. But when you hear him pray, I always think that's an interesting dynamic because of what he's doing. He's talking to himself. If you understand that there are three parts of God, we believe that there are three parts of God. He's a triune God, and it's a very complicated thing to understand, a little beyond me to be able to explain it to you, but there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what we believe, and it's what the Scripture teaches us is why we believe that. So Jesus is talking to God about us. So that's the premise of what is about to be read. It says, and starting in verse 13, it says, I am coming to you now. Because he's talking about, I'm not long before I'm coming back, because he knows what's about to happen. But I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, and they too may be truly sanctified. So this is something that you hear if you're in church a lot. You always hear that, you know, we're supposed to be in the world but not of the world. That's basically the gist of what Jesus is saying. And what he's praying and talking to God about, he's like, listen, they're in the world, but they're not of the world. You know, they're not any more of the world. Jesus says that we are not any more of this world than he is of this world. He was sent directly from heaven to come into this world to do something very specific, to die on a cross for us, to live and walk as a man and to die for our sins. He obviously is not of this world. And he is telling God, this is how he feels about us. We're no more of the world than he is. Once we believe and accept him, you know, we're not of this world anymore. So when you accept Christ and you've decided, I'm going to take this faith up, I'm really believing this, this is really who I am, I want to be Christ-like, then you're no longer of this world. But the thing is, you're still in this world. And that's how it's supposed to work. We're in this world. So, there's an example, and you know, you guys know I like examples of stuff. I like, especially like nature examples and things I've seen. Sid's like that too. He likes examples, and I think it helps you tie in, you know, stories. God teaches us. God can teach you. I've heard sermons preached on a chair, literally, a chair. God can speak to you through a chair. You know, the sermons, you know, you trust this chair with the legs, but you don't trust God. You know, anything can speak to you if you're looking for it. My problem a lot of times is I'm not looking for it. I'm looking for, like, on the way here, I'm in me and Noah are in a meeting about tennis, and we're like, I got to get out of here. We got to fly to the church. I got to teach tonight. So, you know, I'm not looking for God to teach me something half the time. But when you do, and when you open yourself up and think, God, what can you show me in this? He will always meet you there, I promise you. And then there's sometimes he'll just grab you. He'll just grab you and say, and you're not paying attention, he'll say, hey, let me show you something. It may be a word, it may be a sentence, it may be just something that you see, and you say, I always say that'll preach. You know, that's my term. Oh, man, that'll preach. I said it to Scott the other day. I'm already contemplating a message if I have to do another one, if they let me do another one. Because he said something about Clemson's little quarterback. What's his name? Trevor Lawrence. Scott said, yeah, man, Trevor Lawrence, he had never seen the kind of defense they were all talking about. He had never seen this defense that he was going to see up against Alabama. I have no idea why I'm talking about this. I apologize. And I said, yeah, he hadn't seen it, but his coach had. And I said, man, that'll preach right there. Because Daddy's seen it. Anyway, that's not the sermon. I thought about that being the sermon, but we're going to talk about what I feel like God showed me. So, in the world but not of the world. We had the opportunity to go to the Florida Keys back in Thanksgiving in our RV. So we drove down there because we're road warriors. We don't believe in airplanes. But now we've got a camper, so that's really how we enjoy travel and stuff. So we got to go to the Keys. I've never been to the Florida Keys. It was a kind of a cool trip for us. I really enjoyed it. We stayed in Key Largo, which is the first key that you come to. It's right, really all the keys, but this one's especially close to just that southern tip of Florida. If you know anything about the southern tip of Florida, you got the Florida Everglades are right down there at the bottom. National Park, beautiful area of the alligators and stuff. So at the very bottom of it, they have these mangrove trees. So we took a little tour boat. It was just us and a guy on a pontoon boat. He shot us across this bay that we were on. And we went over there, and he took us up into the mangrove trees. And God began to speak to me instantly about these mangrove trees. And he started to show me about us, how he views us, how we should operate together. There's a lot of things that I began to see. And the whole time I was riding, everything that guy would say just was something that triggered something. And I said, I told Kami, I said, that's some good stuff right there. I think I even sent Sid a text. I said, hey, man, the whole teaching on the oaks, the oak trees that we've talked about before. I said, I feel like I've got a different look at that, and I'll get into that in a minute. But mangrove trees, what they are, and Cindy had found a picture for me. You can go and throw that up there. I'd like y'all to see what I'm talking about. That is a good example of what a certain species of mangrove tree is going to look like. If you'll notice, you got all this stuff underwater, and then they float in this, you know, more shallow water, but they're up above it, just real green. They're nothing really spectacular just to look at. The ones, actually, now that I look at those, that is a mangrove tree. The ones in Florida I saw, I think, were a little shorter than that. They even looked a little more like a bush than even that one does. But that's the idea. They grow in brackish water. So if you know what brackish water is, brackish water is where fresh water and salt water meet. So it's a real harsh condition. They're not full salt water. They're not full fresh water. They're in that environment where the ocean meets you know, fresh water coming out. Any coastal areas are going to have sections with brackish water. So they live in these really harsh conditions. The thing about them, one of the things about them, is they're very salt tolerant. They don't like salt, but they're salt tolerant. They can deal with it. And I didn't make these words up. It has a complex salt filtration and complex root system to cope with salt water immersion and wave action. So basically, they're really tough plants. They have a way that they can deal with this salt that they have to be in. They're important for a lot of reasons. They prevent erosion. They provide protection. They protect young species. If you know about mangroves, and especially divers and people that are in that area that go down there, everything basically that's alive in that area came out of the mangroves. You know, the fish go in there to have babies. You've got algae, barnacles, oysters, sponges, shrimp, all that stuff kind of comes out of there. It's like that nursery for all of that stuff. When we were going through there, you know, he was pointing out all the sponges that grow on the bottom of it. I mean, it was a real, you know, if you're into that kind of stuff, nature-y stuff, it was really interesting about how everything just kind of almost, this is like the circle of life kind of thing. It all comes out of these mangrove trees. This is where it develops. Things develop in these mangrove trees. So what I'm seeing in this and what God was showing me that was, and when I began to really put this together, is a mangrove tree is in the ocean, but it's not of the ocean. It's in a very harsh environment all the time. But it's not killed. Salt should kill those things. Salt should kill a green plant. Bottom line, salt should kill a green plant, unless it's algae or something like that. But a plant that grows up out of the water, it still has to have oxygen just like anything else. It has to have all the things that normal plants have, but they're submersed in this salt water. Guys, you're going to be submersed in salt water. If you're going to be in the world, if you're going to go out, especially when you leave this, because y'all were kind of inside of a mangrove right now. Y'all were kind of in a protected area right now because God's doing something very specific in your life right now. You're going to have to leave one day. Three of you guys are moving to the next level. Okay? So, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to go out and suck up the salt? Or are you going to go out and just be immersed back into the world? If you do, you've missed the point. If you do, you've become the world. God says not to do that. God says you're going to be in the world. You're going to walk in the world. You guys are going to face temptation. You guys are going to face trials. You guys are going to face hardship. But do not be of the world. Don't succumb to the world. Don't give in to it. But how do we do that? How do we do that? That's the question. It's easy to say. It's easy to say, yeah, don't do the wrong thing. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. That's easy to say. But how do we do that? I think I felt like I saw a picture of that in these mangrove trees. We can not only survive, but we can thrive. These trees thrive there. Okay, they're not just hanging on by a thread. They thrive there. They're like this huge ecosystem of itself if you go down there. They're everywhere. and all these birds live in them, and they thrive. We can thrive and are called to thrive in this world. We're not called just to get by. Guys, you're not called just to get by. You're called to thrive. You're called to influence. You're called to influence God for God. That's what we're called to do. All of us are called to do great things in God. So don't settle for, I'm just surviving. I'm in this, I've got to hunker down, and I've got to survive this life that I'm living in. And you know, Sid talks about that all the time. He's spot on with it. That we're, you know, if we were to, you know, once you got saved, that's all there was, we'd be gone. He'd just rapture us right there and we'd be done. It'd be over. And it's like Sid says, there's more to it. That's why we're still here. That's why Jesus prayed this. That they're going to be in the world, but not of the world, because I need them here. Because it goes on, in verse 20, it says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Because guys, if we aren't providing what those mangrove trees provide for that development, then this is the last generation of Christians. If we're not doing what we're supposed to do, which is not going to happen. But that's the alternative. If we don't continue to spread what God has put inside of us. God has given us the tools to filter out the world. To filter the world out of our hearts, but yet be involved in it every day. To interact with a lost world. There's a very important thing that you don't need to forget as a Christian, is you have this tool, a very important tool called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a third part of God. No less, no greater. He's the third part of God. And He's that part that comes inside of you. And He's the part that gives you the strength to, when those temptations come up, when those things come up, when those difficulties happen in our life, to be able to press through them. He's those filters that help us filter out the good and the bad. He's that, you know, the little devil and the angel and everything. He's that angel that says, you know what you should do. You know the right thing. You know the best thing for you. You know what God wants you to do. Do that. That's the Holy Spirit. That's one example of the Holy Spirit. He's very detailed, we'll say, as far as what He does and everything. But that is one of the things He does. He comes and helps us make those decisions. He helps us walk those difficult things that we have to walk through. And in this, we have to protect the young. That's what these mangrove trees are really, really big. There was a hurricane in the Keys last summer. Was it Irma? I think it was Irma. Yeah, it was Hurricane Irma that had come through down there. And when we were on the boat and the guy was showing us everything, he said, actually, it's just now coming back from Irma. He said that a lot of the sponges and everything that were growing on the bottom, he said, man, they used to be super big. You could see them. He said the water's still kind of murky from it, although it was pretty clear to us. We thought, man. He said, no. He said, usually you can't tell if you're in 20 feet of water or in 2 feet of water. It's so clear. And but you had all this young stuff, and he said all these young things are beginning to grow back after the storm and everything. It's such an important part of what we do at churches. It's an important part of what we do to not only those kids that are upstairs and playing outside or wherever they're at. That's a huge part. Obviously, that's a huge part. But people who are new to the faith, that's a huge part. People that are hurting, that's a huge part. What we did Sunday in praying for healing for Amanda is what we're about. That's what we're supposed to do. Okay, that's what we're called to do. What we're going to do tonight for these guys at the Blake House, that's what we're called to do. We're called to nurture. We're called to protect. But in that, it makes us stronger. I want you to look at those trees. There are roots coming out of every one of those trees, and those roots are intertwined with one another. Okay? Sid has used the example before of the trees in Charleston, that you've got this bank of trees on each side of the road, and when you learn about them, you find out that the roots go under the road, and the roots connect. You know, we've talked about this before. These are doing the same thing. They're connecting with one another. They're interacting with one another. One is wrapping around the other. One survives because the other one survives. As a church, as a body, we have to do that. In strengthening the younger ones, we're strengthening ourselves. Okay, it's not just, oh, I'm going to be this, you know, super Christian, and I'm going to help this young person out, or I'm going to help this person, you know, that's struggling out. When you strengthen them, you strengthen yourself. Because they're going to be praying for you one day. I promise you, whether Amanda's praying for somebody in this church or some other church or wherever God puts her and moves her, we've strengthened her. Eventually, it's going to strengthen us. That's how it works. God wants us to be stronger as a whole. You know, the whole idea you're only as strong as your weakest link. There's truth to that. So we want to strengthen one another. Interesting thing about these, though. We talk about how we filter all of this stuff that we deal with, this salt. And in this instant, in this example, salt is almost like sin. Salt is almost like the world. Salt is the thing in this particular example that may kill us, that may drive us away from God, that may put us in a place we don't want to be. So how does this mangrove, yeah, they've got all these filters and everything, but there was something very interesting about a mangrove tree and how it handled the salt that it did take in. If you look at the mangrove trees real close, every one of them, you would find one or two yellow leaves. They're green trees. All the leaves are green. But you would see them spotted. There'd be yellow ones. I'm thinking it's fall, you know, the leaves are changing. That's not what it is. On a mangrove tree in the Florida Keys, they don't have fall, okay? It's just hot all the time. So that wasn't the thing. The guy on the boat told us, he said, you see the yellow leaves? He said, what happens with a mangrove tree is it identifies one leaf in there, one or two leaves, and what happens is all the salt that's absorbed, they send to that leaf. And that leaf is a sacrificial leaf on the tree. That leaf protects all the other leaves. They send all that extra salt and all those things that they don't need, all that sin, if you will, all that bad stuff, if you will, to that one leaf. I don't know if anybody else thinks this, but when I saw that yellow leaf, I thought of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for me. When I saw that yellow leaf, I said, that's Jesus right there. He took on, guys, Jesus Christ took on all of your sins, all of your salt, all of that stuff that's in the world that messes us up. He took it on. He said, I will take it for them. I will die for them. That's what He did. Now, unlike a mangrove leaf, He's greater than that, and He came back, and that's what gives us victory over that. But that's what I saw. I thought it was so cool. I thought, you know, you see pictures of Jesus in the dogwoods and stuff like that, but that's what He does. You're like, well, how do I, you know, I've got this sin in my life. What do I do with this sin that I've had? Or, you know, I just sinned today. What am I supposed to do with that? He sacrificed Himself for that already. That's taken care of. That's been sent to the yellow leaf down on the end of the branch. Don't worry about it anymore. Let it go and forget about it. It's sent there. And He took that on so that you could thrive, so that you could be healthy, so that something that you did not have to deal with anymore. Accept that and know that. Never forget that. The only way we can do this is through His sacrifice. He makes us holy and capable of His work. That's how it works, guys. If you think it's anything other than that sacrifice, anything other than the love of God, then reevaluate. Another interesting thing, as he said that, as we're going through there, he's telling us all these facts, and he said that mangrove trees, they'll die. They don't like live. They're not like sequoia trees and live forever. You know, they are in a harsh environment and stuff like that. When one dies, though, they said it'll stay in the mangroves for a long time. You see, when it dies, its branch is still there. And it's still an integral part of the mangroves because that branch that may not be alive in that particular tree anymore is still supporting the younger branches. So I'm asking God, what's that about? And there are people who have sat in these chairs since this church was opened, who are still have limbs in this church. They might not physically be here, and I'm not saying they're dead, but I'm just saying that they're not physically in this church anymore. God's called them to another place. Hey, maybe they got mad and left, and maybe they were wrong. I don't know. I'm not worried about that. But I'll tell you right now, there are still branches that are coming out of these chairs that you guys are wrapped around, that has supported you guys and have put this church where it's at today. You have people in your life that you have interacted with that have built who you are. You have built who you are on things that they've told you, support that they have given you over the years. Those are important things. Those are important things. I'm telling you, there have been people who've preached messages from right here that have impacted my life, and they're not here anymore. Don't forget about that. Don't forget about just because they're not right here in front of you anymore. Never forget about the impact that people have had in your journey with God and your journey as a person. People that... And then you do have people that we've lost. We've just lost Dole. Dole impacted my life in a positive way. I won't forget that. Well, I won't. It's who I am. So yeah, that branch may not be here physically. There might not be life in that branch. It may not be part of the tree anymore, but there are still things that we have wrapped around. My question to you today is, if you were to leave a situation, are you leaving anything? Is there any skeletal bones that you have left? Are you living your life in such a way that when you leave, there are things that people can still build on? God has called us to make an impact in this world. It should be noticed. It should be noticed. And it will be. If we're living the way He wants us to, if we're impacting the way He wants us to, then it'll be felt. I was trying to almost tie in the dry bones out of Ezekiel and everything, and there may be something there, I don't know. But, you know, you have these bones that were lifeless, but they're doing something. So he said, you know, you would see this little branch, and it would have any leaves on it. But he said, if you look, all the smaller branches are intertwined with that one. So in a way, they're still holding it up. They're still remembering it. So never discount people in your life, especially in church. Guys, I've been in a lot of churches. I grew up in a lot of different churches, and I've told you guys that before. But every place I went had an impact. Every person that I met that loved God had an impact on me, whether I really, you know, dug into it or not. We must impact people every time they come, especially you guys. You guys are, most of y'all are in and out. We're going to see you for however many months, and then God's going to pull you out and put you back to where He wants you next. So we're only getting to interact with you guys for a short period of time. I mean, most of you, it's less than a year that we get to see you. We should be an impact in you guys' life. You guys should be an impact in our life. And you are. That's why we love you guys. That's why we care about you guys. We're called to be a branch in your life. One day I will be a branch that you won't see anymore, most likely. But I hope that I've put something in your life that you are able to build on and grow yourself from. And that's what we're called to do. That's what this church is called to do. We're supposed to be that branch in people's life. So what are we leaving behind? Okay, so now let's talk about hurricanes. When the hurricanes come, so he told us down there that when Irma came, you got a lot of boats that, you know, you can load up on a trailer and get out of town. You know, you can do that with the smaller boats. A lot of these bigger boats, you couldn't get them out. He said, you know, it's just, there's no way you're going to do it. They're big kind of yacht boats. They're big, you know. Some people live on, a lot of people live on these boats out in the coves and stuff like that. And they're like, really, there's no choice for us to leave. And you don't want to be tied up to a dock, because if you're tied up to a dock during a hurricane, one, you're going to damage your boat, and two, you're going to damage the dock. You're going to tear everything up. He said the term down there is when you ask somebody, hey, what are you doing with your boat? A lot of people say, well, I'm going to trees. I'm going to trees. That's how he said it. I thought it was kind of cool, so I remember that. I'm going to trees. What they mean is, I'm heading across the cove. I'm going to those mangrove trees out there. And we're going to park up in those mangrove trees, and we're going to tie our boat off inside of those mangrove trees, because that's going to provide shelter for my boat. And he showed us. He actually showed us where some of the boats had left their ropes from Irma. He pulled us up into one of the coves. He said, oh yeah, he said, this is a big hangout. He said, there was probably 30, 40 boats in this cove alone. You know, you pull up and it's just like this big, you know, looks almost like you're in a lake and there's trees around it. Well, all the trees are floating and everything. He said, there was 20, 30, 40 boats in this cove right here. And he showed us where the ropes were left. He said, I think almost like he knew him. He said, I think he left his there because he's marking his spot for if he has to come back. So you take this, you know, with all the technology in the world we've got, the safest place for these boats to go was inside of these mangrove trees. Guys, there are people that are going through hurricanes in their life right now, and they're going to walk through that door. And the only reason that they're walking through that door is because they're going through a hurricane. It's driven them here. A lot of times we go to God, and when we're driven to God by a storm. And I'm not saying that's ideal, but God doesn't care as long as you're coming to Him. Sometimes God doesn't mind a storm coming if it's going to drive you to Him. So what happens is you go into this place. People should know, I need to go to God's house. I'm having something really bad in my life is happening. Something bad in my life is about to happen. Whatever. This should be a well-known place to come as a refuge. This should be a place to come for safety. This should be a well-known place that I can come and go to trees, where I can survive this thing, where I can get what I need to survive this thing. That's what we should be as individuals. Brother, you should be a guy that people say, I'm going to Him. I'm going to Him. I know there's something different. I know that I have seen them weather storms, and they seem to come out because these people have seen hurricanes before. They look across the bay, and the mangroves are still there. Every man-made structure on this island may be gone, but the mangroves, for some reason, are still there. They may see you walk through storms. People in this church have walked through storms, and people have seen that, so they say, if they've walked through it and made it, I need to get hooked up with them. That's what we should be. We are called to be that place where people want to pull in there for safety. That is part of being in this world, but not of this world. Sometimes the world needs to come right through those doors and sit right down on this front seat. And if we're not inviting them in there, then how are we affecting them? And I get it. We can live, and that's part of it. We have to live out there in their world, but don't be afraid to bring them in this world. Don't be afraid to bring them in here. Don't be afraid to say, come inside this cove right here, come inside this mangrove cove right here, and you'll be safe. We have to be that refuge from the storm. The mangroves protect everything that comes into them, but they still take a beating. After Irma, and that's another interesting thing he told us, he said, after Irma, he said, yeah, the mangroves were fine. He said, other than, you know, the disruption up under them. He said, but all the leaves were gone. He said, they completely stripped of their leaves. All the leaves were gone off the tree. He said, it just looked like branches out here. And he was talking about how they've really come back and stuff like that. Church, we are going to lose some leaves. We are going to take some beatings. We are going to go through some stuff. It's part of life. And especially when you invite the world in, especially when you're wanting to affect people and you're wanting to tell them about Christ and you're wanting to love people, the easiest way to get hurt in this world is to open up your heart and love people. You want to get hurt really fast? Open up your heart and love somebody. Especially somebody you don't know, a stranger, and you just, man, God, just, I mean, I'm connected to that person. I want to love them. That's the easiest way to get hurt. That's the easiest way to lose your leaves. You'll receive some damage, but it's part of it. Is it for the greater good is what I'm asking you. Sometimes we have to lose our leaves. Sometimes they get pulled off. Sometimes that wind, and we're trying to protect others, it happens. It's kind of, ministering to people is a messy thing. That's why I'm scared to get into it too deep. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. It's a messy thing, and I like for things to be nice and clean. But loving people can get messy. and caring about people can get messy, and putting your heart out there can get messy. Okay? So that's what I kind of took from that. Even with its leaves gone, the mangrove protects what's inside of it. So what is inside of us that we must protect? And so this is, you got to take this, I felt like this teaching was on three different levels, really is almost on the church level, the family level, and the personal level. So all this stuff can apply to these different things. So much of God's Word can apply to us as a group and also apply to us as individuals. So what's inside of us that we must protect? Yes, we must protect other people, you know, as a church, when people come in and they need, you know, they need a touch from God. Yeah, we have to protect those people, but we also have to protect our love for God inside of ourselves, our appreciation for God, our thankfulness for God. We have to protect the Holy Spirit's work inside of us. Don't expose that. Don't let that be exposed. There's things that you protect and there's things that you can expose. Always protect that. Protect what God has put inside of you. Protect that word that He's put inside of you. Protect that knowing who you are in God. Protect those things. And the last thing I felt like was kind of something that jumped out at me about the mangroves, and then we're gonna do some praying real quick. As we were riding around, he was showing us, you know, this is where some boats were, and this is where some were at. And we got out into one of the big open areas, the bay, and he was showing us where all these people live on their boats out there. And I found it fascinating. It's just like they're in a camper. I mean, they live on their boat. And they got little dinghy boats, and when they need to go shore, they just get in their dinghy and run to shore. I mean, you're in the Florida Keys. That's the mindset down there, man. It's just like, whatever, if I got some pack of crackers to eat today, I'm good today. You know, that's just the mindset. But so people live on the bay. Now, some of these may be rich people. I don't know. But they're hanging out there, and that's kind of where they live. They park their house. They live in their boat. They drop anchor. That's where they live. But we were passing one section, and there were some boats that were still up in the trees, still up in the mangroves and everything. And he even pointed out, he said, yeah, those guys over there, he said, they moved their boats over there for Irma. But they realized it was a really good place, so they just decided to stay. That is what church is about. Because people are going to come in, and some people are going to come in for the storm, and then they're going to leave. And they're going to come in for the storm, and they're going to leave. And we must minister to those people. We must love those people. There's going to be people that come into your lives, guys, for a season, and then they're gone. They come in almost like me, almost like this church. We're in your life for a season, and then we're gone. But then there's going to be people that come into your life that drop their anchor in your life that never leave. They're not supposed to leave. They're supposed to be part of your life. They're supposed to be who you are. Supposed to be part of your story long term. You should be a place that they say, this is a safe place. This is a good place. You know, I kind of came here because the storm was going on in my life. But I'm dropping my anchor. I don't want to stay here because I realize that this is where I want to live. I want to live in the presence of the Holy Spirit all the time. That's where I want to live. I want to be there. A lot of people went back out into the bay because the bay looks more appealing for some reason. But a lot of people, he said, you know, those are smart people. They're hanging out. They said, hey, this is a really good place. I'm protected from the wind all the time. I can still see the beauty of what's out here. I'm closer to shore. You know, there was a lot of good things about staying in those mangroves. We should be such a place, this church, our families, us as people. God wants us to filter the things in this world through the Holy Spirit. Filter them through God's Word. If you're not sure about something, guys, if you're not sure if something's God's intention or not, just open this. This is the greatest filter that you'll ever have. You put this and the Holy Spirit together, and you're going to be right there where He wants you to be. Filter out the things. So I want to encourage you guys tonight to be in the world but not of the world. Don't shrink back when the world is at your footstep. And trying to get in, and sit. Don't shrink back from that. Know that, hey, I can deal with this. I've been equipped to deal with this. Jesus Christ prayed to God the Father for you right then. that you would be able to handle what you're walking through. The good, the bad. So, no matter what, the mangroves do their job. And we should do our job, no matter what. If you lose some leaves, keep plugging away. Keep protecting, keep loving. Be in this world, but not of this world. So, that's the gist of what I wanted to get across to you guys, but I wanted to go ahead and finish up because I don't want to not do this. I want Anderson, Jesse, and Travis to come up here. Come on, guys. And I want everybody else to come up around them, church body, Blake.